By definition, ambassadors are representatives of their sovereign and their nation. We have the privilege to discuss and represent our sovereign, Jesus Christ, and his kingdom for his glory. Join us as we seek him first. Welcome to Ambassador Talks.
Thanks for joining us on another edition of Ambassador Talks. Ambassador Talks is brought to you by Ambassador Baptist Church in Hudson, North Carolina. For more information, go to ambassadorbaptistchurch.org. Pastor, we're here today, and we've got another little controversy on our hands, I guess semi-controversy. We've got some interesting things to talk about. And I think as a disclaimer, I should probably put out there that this is a very, very deep and in-depth subject. But it goes on the heels of something that we talked about just a couple weeks ago, and that's justification. Now, there is a popular preacher. He has been around for 40-plus years in his ministry up in Minnesota at Bethlehem Baptist Church, and that is Dr. John Piper. He is a voluminous writer. He is still a very active speaker and minister. He stepped down from his pastorate position, but he is still a very popular author and speaker around the country. And he has stirred up a little bit of controversy by some statements that he's made. And I should also add that he's Reformed. So that kind of adds fuel to the fire in the comments that he made, because he seemingly makes some non-Reformed comments. And his comments, you know, I'll let you talk about them a little bit, Pastor. But we see in his in a sermon that he preached just recently that he's made some pretty interesting comments about justification and salvation. And we're going to hash that stuff out. We're going to talk about it and what it means. And so we're diving into a very deep subject here, Pastor.
Well, I think it's a very interesting subject. I think the comment in question that Pastor Piper made was, in final salvation, at the last judgment, faith is confirmed by the sanctifying fruit it has borne, and we are saved through that faith and that fruit. I have no problem with that whatsoever. I think all he is simply saying is basically, it's almost like as if he's making a commentary on what James said in chapter 2 and verse 14 in his epistle. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works, can faith save him? And so I think what he is dealing with is the problem that we're looking at in some elements of Americanized Christianity today that would maybe suggest, you can just believe in Jesus and maybe pretty much live however you want to live. And I absolutely do not believe in that. I do not think, Nathan, that John Piper is in any way advocating or suggesting that salvation is based on works.
Yeah, and I think that's where the confusion comes in. So I guess I definitely am not going to accuse him of anything, as some, you know, podcasts and articles have done. You know, I definitely think we need to stop way, way short of accusing him of heresy, because I don't think that's anything here. There's a lot of stuff to talk about. And one is just the definition of terms. I mean, what do you mean by justification? What do you mean by sanctification? What do you mean by, you know, fruit, works? I mean, it just on and on down the line. We could spend forever on this. But I think where he raised some eyebrows is that he said, you do not make it to heaven on faith alone. That was, you know, what he said in this sermon. And that certainly raised some eyebrows with good reason. I mean, you know, we of course believe that you're justified by faith, and then he uses words like final salvation. The only thing that I would say is that maybe some of the language he's using is unhelpful. Like, that might be the most I could say. I don't think he's believing anything heretical here, but I just wonder what the motivations are for some of this language. And things like final salvation.
You know, in all fairness, one, and we're talking about any listeners who are interested, would I think need to take into consideration his entire sermon and not just pulling out a sentence from it.
Yeah.
But what do you do with other you know, Calvinists who would come along and for example, Michael Horton is a very well-known, very prominent Calvinist, and he says...
Professor at Westminster.
Yeah, and he says the New Testament lays before us a vast array of conditions for final salvation. Yeah. Not only initial repentance and faith, but perseverance in both, demonstrated in love toward God and neighbor. I don't have a problem with that right there.
I didn't know that he used that language, too, until that article. Like, yes. I mean, I thought this was kind of a response, and what Piper had done was several years ago written a book in response to N.T. Wright, who, in my assessment, does not believe in a biblical version of justification. And it seemed Piper wrote a response to that, and then... you know, over the years has, you know, I guess been a little more freely using some of this language. But I thought, you know, maybe Piper had come up with that, but that statement there proves that it's not just Piper and that, you know, the final salvation thing is being used by others as well.
Well, evidently John Piper is rather well read and well versed amongst others of his theological persuasion. Hey, what about the Reformed theologian of antiquity, Francis Turretin, going back to the 1600s, that spoke of good works are required as the means and way for possessing salvation? And I would not say at all that Turretin was advocating that a man can work his way into heaven. We certainly don't believe that.
I think what... And this is just Nathan's thoughts here. I think what these guys are mainly defining here, and we're just talking here. And you can agree or disagree, but I think they may be talking about salvation with the broadest strokes they can paint it. I mean, obviously, we can talk about salvation being we can talk about it being past, present, and future, right? We can say that we were saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved from judgment. And I think if that's what they're saying, if that's what Piper's saying here, I don't disagree. But I think there definitely is some curious language used there about salvation and the listeners might be thinking, well, we're splitting hairs here. We're talking about salvation and justification, but that's kind of what, as I heard one guy say, it's kind of what theologians do. We kind of do split hairs because words are important.
Well, no, biblically, salvation is spoken of in tenses, you know, past tense, right. We're safe from the penalty of sin. Present tense, we're safe from the power of sin. And future tense, from the very presence of sin. We certainly haven't acquired the future tense just yet, you know, because the sin's all about us. And so there is an aspect, I say that very slowly, there is an aspect of salvation that we have not attained that final salvation yet, where we're safe from the very presence of sin.
And, yeah, I mean, people may not like that term, but I don't think there's anything in this inherently evil in making that statement that there is something called final salvation. And I don't think that's what anybody's upset about, is that there is... you know, this progressive, I guess, that's probably not even the right word, too, but I guess what they would be accusing Piper of is a progressive justification. That's something completely different. Maybe we need to hash that out a little bit. And that we, like we said in an episode or two ago, that we believe that justification is an act. It's a one-time act. It is a declaration of being righteous. And not only that, it's Christ's righteousness imputed on us as by faith, justification by faith alone. And Piper doesn't deny that, of course.
I mean Tom Schreiner picks up on exactly what you just got through saying right there. And because here in his book, he says, tackles one of the fundamental questions of our human condition. How can a person be right with God? And he says the answer is sola fide, okay? Faith alone. He said, but be sure you hear this carefully and precisely. He says, right with God by faith alone, not attain heaven by faith alone. And I think that really throws some people like, what do you mean? You mean there's a works to get to heaven? And I think, no, I think all he simply is saying was, is that we start in this glorious thing of salvation through the finished work of Christ, through faith. And when the Holy Spirit regenerates us and Christ indwells us, you can't help but be a new person. Not a perfect person. You haven't arrived yet, okay? Mm-hmm. But you are a new person, and there is going to be fruit if that salvation is genuine.
Well, it goes all the way back to, I guess, probably the origin of this debate and what everybody goes back to, and that's James chapter 2. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the tough passages that you mentioned earlier and that we will continue to mention for centuries. I mean, that's... as long as the Lord tarries. That's just the crux of the matter, is James saying you're justified by works. And, you know, what does that mean? And we have to talk about that. We have to you know, suss that out.
Hey, since you said that, let's just toss this in, and you brought this to my attention in a blog, faithalone.org, by a guy named Sean Lazar. I'm not sure how he says this last
name. Yeah, I'm not sure
either. But he makes a comment that this thing of kind of a little jab on a faith that works, as if it makes works a condition of salvation. And I made a note here. I said, that is a ridiculous statement.
Yeah.
But when I say that salvation is a faith that works, that is not the same thing as saying that salvation is works based, Nathan. But it's true.
I think why a lot of people don't like that is because it's not the same thing, but it gets kind of close to what a lot of people's preconceived notions is, like the Catholic faith, where it's a living faith. And which is not correct. It's not faith plus works, but we do believe that it is faith, you know, that shows itself through good works.
Okay, but let's not strain it in that. Let's go back.
Yeah,
let's
see. That's the point.
You touched on it right then. Let's go back to where the Reformation started at, and what was it all over? It was over the whole concept of Catholicism's works based salvation. You know, this whole thing of, well, you're going to go to purgatory, you know, you can help pay and get yourself your time in purgatory lessened and reduced, et cetera, et cetera. And certainly, you know, Luther and Calvin and Zwingli and these men, I mean, men raised the banner high and said, no, salvation is through the finished work of Jesus Christ by faith. The just shall live by faith.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it would just be... I guess I might be given a pauper the benefit of the doubt. Maybe I'm being naive. I don't know. I don't know what the man actually meant. You know, 100%. You know, stake my life on it. It's hard for me to imagine that he would recant of all the stuff and his views on justification. And it's obviously not the case, because if you listen to that sermon, I mean, the first 30 minutes of it, he nails the definition of justification. I mean, absolutely. I mean, you would have no problems with it. And then he starts saying the more controversial top things. And I mean, maybe he's inconsistent. I guess you could say that at his worst, but I don't know that he is being that. I'm just saying, you know, I guess that's might be the worst criticism you could lay on him, that he might not be holding something absolutely consistent with what he said 10 minutes ago. But I don't know. I mean, I think the maybe we're blowing it out of proportion. Maybe we're not.
We're not blowing it out of proportion. Well, let me just toss this out while we're talking. You know, one of the core tenets, you know, of Calvinism, as espoused, you know, by John Calvin, would be the perseverance of the saints.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And that's one of the, I mean, that's, so, I like where you're going.
Yeah. So what are we talking about? I mean, what's the argument over? What do they define? And let me make a disclaimer right here. I mean, I do not consider myself a Calvinist, as some you know, would maybe define it. I think you have to define each term individually as you go through it.
Of course, you do.
Certainly believe in the perseverance of the saints, Nathan.
Right. So, and I think that's the crux of the matter. Is Piper saying that he doesn't believe in that? I think that's the crux of the matter. And I mean, I would say absolutely that's not what he's saying. I think he definitely believes in perseverance of the saints. He's preached that. I can't tell you how many times, and it would just and wrote books and books and books on it. It would just, I mean, until he says I recant of that belief, then I'll just have to assume that he still holds that. I guess that's the rub. That's where it all, where the rubber meets the road, is that is he saying that these works benefit you anything after sanctification or after salvation? And I hope he's not saying that it really makes a difference in your standing with God, because I don't believe that. I don't think works, even after you're saved, really. I mean, God doesn't need it. He didn't need it with the thief on the cross. I mean, he had no works to do.
But I mean, when you go back to James, the first pastor in Jerusalem, I think he was saying, hey, works evidence your salvation. He said, how do you evidence to an outsider?
And
James was not going to accept it. You're just saying, hey, got faith.
That's exactly the key here. And I don't think, and that's where the line is. Is he saying that it has anything to do with standing with God, or is he just saying our standing with men? Because I think that's what James' point is. He says, I'll show you a faith. He's saying, I'm going to show someone else a faith. And I think that's what they're for. I mean, the good works are, I mean, they're obviously for the Lord and unto the Lord for worship, but they're for other people to see that we are genuine believers.
Let's go back to what Michael Horton said again. Here he says, holiness, which is defined by love of God and neighbor, is the indispensable condition of our glorification. No one will be seated at the heavenly banquet who has not begun, however imperfectly, in new obedience.
I mean, I think it's beautifully said.
I mean, is that not a pretty good way to say holiness is defined by love of God and neighbor?
Well, that seemed to be what James was saying, that if you've got a person who's naked and hungry and you don't clothe them and don't feed them, but you just say, oh, be warm and be filled and just send them on their way and don't do anything about it, then that faith won't work.
I'm not an authority on John Wesley, but in Wesley's concepts of perfection, wasn't a large amount of that understood as a perfection in love?
Mm.
So.
And you know, it just goes. It goes back to just what we've talked about and what we said on the key issues. Is he saying that perseverance of the saints isn't correct, or that we've got justification wrong this whole time? And I don't think that's what he's saying.
No, I don't think so at all.
I
think perseverance of the saints, and of course, I'm sure it's defined differently by different people, but in just a very, very simple and broad concept of the term is very important, you know.
Well, right. I mean, you can take any of those beliefs and I mean, you have to define things. I mean, that's just the nature of theology. That's what I was getting at when I said I don't think we're splitting hairs. That's what you have to do. Words are very important,
very,
very important, and you just can't swap words like justification and sanctification and, you know, all that stuff around and just say, well, you can plug them anywhere you want to. No, I mean, they have specific meanings, and we have to address those. I guess what I would say here is just, we've talked about a lot of things we don't think. I mean, maybe we need to give our idea of sanctification here.
Okay, sure. You know, and the Bible speaks of justification and of sanctification and future glorification.
Mm-hmm.
And in a very simplistic sense, sanctification is becoming more like the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we are predestined to do. That's an injunction in the Scriptures, that we are to become more and more like Jesus in our words, our thoughts, our behavior. It's a pretty tall order, I think.
It is, absolutely. And
it requires grace. Can we say that?
Yeah. I think, you know, and this would be a whole other can of worms, but I mean, you could say, but it still relates to this very subject. I mean, you could take passages like Peter saying, repent and be baptized. And you could stretch that and say, well, he was saying that you have to you have to be baptized to be saved.
Baptismal regeneration.
Yeah. I mean, and I don't, I mean, that's not what he's saying.
No.
But baptism is very important.
Absolutely.
It is an ordinance. It is something that we are ordered, you know, called to do. And so I think it's something like that. I mean, baptism doesn't regenerate us, and neither do these works that we're talking about. These works don't regenerate us, but they are evidences. They are, they do have God's power in them, I believe. I mean, God's, you know, equipping us and moving us to do good works. I mean, how else could we do them?
And I don't think any of these men are suggesting, you know, whether it be Horton, Schreiner, Piper, or any, I don't think any of them are suggesting a regenerative quality inherent in works.
Yeah, I think the important thing is that, and I just don't think he's saying, I just don't think Piper's saying that it increases, or at least I hope he's not saying that it increases your standing with God. I think that's the important thing, that God sees the blood of Christ when he sees us, and he doesn't see our works. At least, that's not how I read things, and so I think that's the important thing to take away, is that it just depends on what he's saying and how he's defining his terms. But I think, you know, we need to stop short of probably saying he's a heretic.
I'm nowhere near suggesting anything like that.
Absolutely not.
I actually tend to agree with what he said.
Yeah, I mean, we could just talk about this over and over again, but I think he is right on a lot of things. Obviously, a true Christian can't, as he said, live like the devil and do whatever they want. We have to love the brethren. I mean, the Bible tells us that.
Well, I think we can certainly agree to sum up where the Bible sums it up, at, both in Habakkuk, Romans, and in Galatians, the just shall live by faith. Mm-hmm. Amen? As Romans speaks about, you know, from faith to faith, I think our salvation begins in faith, and faith, it takes the grace of God for us to live and grow in the Lord. I still stumble, but I need His grace every single day.
Every day.
But I think that salvation is completely through by the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross.
Absolutely. And so don't get it twisted. We're saying here that you are absolutely justified by faith alone. But that works do come into play.
Very,
I mean,
important.
After they're very important for other believers to see that we are genuine, and I don't believe that attributes anything to God's our standing with God. But they are very important for our Christian life and walk. And so, hopefully, this has been insightful, informative. It's an issue a lot of people may not have been privy of, but it's something that just bolsters the fact that what we talked about a couple weeks ago, it's very important, and it's right on the forefront of current events, and justification has never been more important. I mean, we have to keep talking about it and have to keep understanding it and being able to explain it to lost people. I mean, that's the whole point, right? Is to tell people about the wonderful work of Jesus Christ, the gospel. And that's what we're committed to here at Ambassador Talks. We thank you for joining us this week. God bless.